fixed the numbers. Verse 22. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. I thought our dear brother might have gone on to the blessing flowing from the Nazarite keeping his vow. When the Nazarite keeps his vow and maintains his separation, he's not doing it just for himself. He's got his eye upon his brethren. He takes his place in absolute separation to the Lord, from all that is contrary to the Lord, with his eye upon his brethren, in maintaining or taking even a place of separation, and seeking with whatever weakness and failure might mark him to maintain that separation. He hasn't got his eye on himself. He's got his eye on his brethren. I cannot speak physically for long. I just want to draw attention to that by reiterating it. The Nazarite acts in his separation to the Lord for his brethren. And in consequence, you get this blessing for the whole nation. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. Undoubtedly, dear brethren, the Lord has blessed us, hasn't he? Not only has he blessed us, he'll keep us. Be the tide of evil ever so strong, if there's the slightest heart for him, he'll keep you. And then again we read, The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Make his face to shine upon thee. What does that carry with it? I'll transfer that. My memory holds me into New Testament language. I'll have to turn to it and read it. The second Corinthian epistle, end of the chapter, chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all, with open or unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Brethren, I've asked one or two of my brethren to try and explain to me, if they could, what it is to be transformed from glory to glory. I've had all kinds of responses to that. Well, the conclusion that one has to come to for oneself is this. As we gaze upon that glory that shines in the face of our blessed, glorious and holy Lord, we'll be changed into the same image to be truly representative of him. From glory, starts there, you see, where he is. And it ends there, to glory. From glory to glory. And the link between the from glory and the to glory is the exercise of the Holy Spirit's power in engrossing our hearts with Christ in the glory. The Lord be gracious unto you, make his face shine upon thee, and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee, and give thee peace. Brethren, so much in these last days that disturbs and can only disturb. The thought of God for us all is peace. Our Lord Jesus, in view of his departure, said, "My peace I give unto you." He also said, "Peace I leave with you." This peace we have, which is a legacy from the accomplished work of Christ at Calvary, and as his own settled peace that he enjoyed as moving here as the true Nazarite for God. And his peace will be shared with us by him in the measure in which we tread the same path of holy separation as he did. I trust that everyone in this room tonight, young or old, knows something about the peace that's the legacy from the death of Christ. If you don't, dear friends, it's time you did. Time is short. Christ is coming. And we are going. Believing company's going. It may be tonight, dear friend. Why not? Get settled with God on the principle of faith in the work that the Saviour has accomplished at the cross. Get the sins question settled. We read two words this afternoon in the course of our reading. In him is no sin. That constituted him absolutely competent to deal with the question of sins. There's a difference, dear friend, between sin, the root, and sins, the fruit. And only the work of Christ can deal with either. Thank God, he has dealt with the matter of sin as the Lamb of God. And as the Christ who has died at Calvary at the same time, he settled the question of our guilt for eternity. Praise his blessed name. I hadn't intended to speak so long. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee. Would you like his face to shine upon you? An expression from the end of Psalm 84 just comes into my mind. Look upon the face of thine anointed. Jehovah shall give thee grace and glory. In consequence, the psalmist voices this. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Would you like to dwell there? No reason why each one of us shouldn't dwell there. It's imperative, of course, that these matters are just briefly referred to. The matter of our guilt, for instance, be taken up and absolutely settled between our souls and God. On the ground of our accepting the Saviour that he has provided and the work that Saviour has accomplished. And in consequence, the Lord will surely lift up his countenance upon you. Just think of it, dear brethren. His face shining upon us. You like your brethren, don't you? Take account with pleasure of you. What about this? This involves living your life in holy separation from what is contrary. And on the positive side, in the holy pursuit of what is pleasurable to the Lord. And in consequence, the Lord will lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And, last verse, they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Whose name do you want to bear? I'm one of the brethren. Are you? His name is the only name that's of any value in the sight of God. And always remember, dear brethren, wherever we go, and however we go, his name is called upon us. And everything we do or say, in whatever aspect, reflects against his name. I use that word against. It might equally reflect for his name, bringing glory and praise to his precious name. May it be so. For his name's sake, amen.